phony is that, you know, we're here and we're, you know, nobody got hurt, and that is almost a miracle, I think. But I'm really happy about that. But last Saturday, we left the house early in the morning, and we were going on a four-hour drive. We had our three grandchildren in the back seat, young kids, and we were going to the Pennsylvania State Line Welcome Center to meet our son, to hand him over the kids so they could proceed to go to Iowa, and we were going to come back home. Well, 6 miles from the Welcome Center, a bear came out from underneath the guardrails, and I broadsided him and literally smashed up the whole front end of my car. So we pulled off the road, and here we are on Interstate 84 going 65, 70 miles an hour. And, you know, there's cars all around, and you don't have time to think. And I was driving, and, you know, if I'd have tried to veer off the road, I think it would have been, like, horrible. I think it would have, you know, it would have been terribly awful. But as it was, as soon as I could react to him being right smack in front of me, I, you know, put the brakes on. I'm thankful we didn't get rear-ended by somebody, because that could have happened also. So I hit the bear. He literally barrel rolled across the passing lane and disappeared under the guardrails. I don't know what happened to him, but when I looked in my rearview mirror, I couldn't see it. And I don't know what happened to it, but I don't really care. But anyway, so here we are on the side of the road. There's guardrails, so I can't really pull off too much on the interstate. And that's really scary. You know, you've got people going by you so fast, and they don't pull over, you know. But it, so luckily nobody hit us again then either. But to make a long story short, I know Rick's going to fill in some blanks, but, you know, nobody was hurt. I'm so thankful.
When you stopped, were you on the inside lane?
When I hit the bear? Yeah, I was on the inside lane, not the passing lane. Yeah. But there was cars all around us. You know, somebody saw the bear and hit the bear because, you know, it was, but anyway. So anyway, we ended up having our car towed because it was not drivable. And my son followed us to the tow thing, and because he was only 6 miles away, he came and got the kids and their stuff and followed us there and then took us to a hotel because we thought we were going to get a rental car. Well, come to find out, all the rental places closed at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And so we said, well, okay, I guess we got to wait till Monday morning and get a rental. So we were... luckily, we were within walking distance of places to eat, and so that was good. And we had our raincoats with us, which was good because it kept raining. That was the only thing we took with us that day, so we did have our raincoats so when we had to walk to eat. But the people were so nice. Everybody was so nice and so generous. And, you know, the people at the hotel were very nice. And so then we come to Monday morning. We got a taxi and we planned to be at the rental place when they opened, and we were. And they were already working, and we went in and we started talking to the person. Another person came in behind us, and I was telling the lady what happened, and I had this priority pass from my insurance company that they gave me, and I thought, well, no problem, I'll get a car. Well, this lady told us basically they had no cars to give us. And she started calling around, and they said, well, maybe we'll have one by afternoon, maybe. And, you know, here it is, 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said, we've been in our clothes, same clothes for 3 days. I said, we need to get home. And plus Bethany, our daughter, was coming the next day with her family, and we just needed to get home. So I was like, you know, almost like giving her this sob story, which was all true, you know. But come to find out, this, you know, there was no cars. I literally sat down and I looked at Rick and I said, what are we going to do? And I got out of Kleenex because I started crying. And I, you know, it's like just natural for me just to start crying because I was very emotional. And, well, this guy that came in behind us went over and whispered something to the lady at the behind the desk. And she said, you're an angel. And she said, this man just gave up his car for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was a local person. He was going on business or something. He said, I can go another day. So literally he gave up the car. And we were able to just go like within a half an hour from then and get home. And from there we went to the body shop, which was 9 miles away, because my insurance agent had told me to go there and clean out the car just in case it was totaled. I wouldn't have to go back and, you know, get our stuff out of it. So we did that, and let's say Sunday. Friday, I did get a call that the car is totaled. It's so it's going in the salvage yard, and I'm glad we got everything out. So now I got to get a different car, start all over again. But the body shop said he was up to $23,000 in damages. It was so bad from this bear, this stupid bear. So, but he'll fill in probably some things. But
what were the grandchildren saying in the backseat?
What's that?
What were the grandchildren saying?
Well, Kenzie was actually on the driver's side, so she saw a barrel roll over, so she was probably about the only one that really saw it at all.
Probably
going around
town.
They all have,
my grandma had a
bear. Yeah, they all have a bear story now.
Thank you, guys. And the car we got is sitting right under this window out here. Huggy break, you'll have the joy of seeing what God provided. So that was very amazing, and I don't have anything to add to her story at this time. I wrote it all down, and I had detailed 23 points where we actually saw the Lord providing and making a way for us. So you know me, Mr. Detail, so I can print it if you want that much detail, but she did a very good summary. The desk clerk at the hotel, this was one thing. She gave us the name of this taxi company. It's the only taxi company in that area. And she said, and they're not very nice and they're not very dependable, but I'm going to give you his number and you can call them. We did, and the dispatcher sounded kind of snappy, to put it nicely. But we said we need to be picked up at the hotel at a certain time. But those words that she spoke, but they're not very dependable, are still in my head. So the next morning we're in there having breakfast before they were picking us up, and I think she had her mom with her, and she said, if that taxi doesn't come here to get you, I will take you, or my mom will take you over so that you can get another car. And these are people that God put in our lives. She gave us an emergency kit. We got a toothbrush and toothpaste and a comb. And my beard snagged that comb up so bad, I said, that's not too helpful, but I'll try it this way. There's little things, but we were told too that the hotel was all full. There were no rooms left in the hotel because it's tourist season. There's a lot of people traveling on vacations this time of the year. And then after we told her our circumstances and why we were here, she said, oh, well, this Best Western Hotel has a policy that if you're in an emergency situation, they have 3 rooms that they never rent. They leave them available, and we got one, and it was a nice room too. But just the fact of all of these things, how we began to really reflect on what had happened and be able to identify the Lord working on our behalf, and not because of what we did, but because that's who He is.
Yes.
You know, God doesn't react to us in ways that, like, we're trying to bribe Him. Well, I'll be in church next week, Lord, if You get me home. You know, that kind of deal. Let's see, the other thing. No, I'm going to stop there, because that list is really extensive. I'd like to go into the opening scripture, and plus Ken and Laurie have brought a song to us too, so we got a lot of good things yet to come this morning. And if you haven't been here many times, please don't be shocked. It's normal for us to be here for a couple hours, but so much happens. 45 minutes, this service would have been over 10 minutes ago in most places in our area, but we're just getting started. So please don't be discouraged. Hang in there. The opening scripture this week is Psalm 27 in verse 14. And how key this scripture became in this bear story. Psalm 27 in verse 14. And I have it in the Amplified version. Lorraine, I know you like the Amplified. Maybe others of you have a favorite particular version that you like. The computer has it in the King James. But whatever translation you have, it basically says the same thing. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Now, if you read Psalm 27, David was in a wreck of a mess for his life. The stress, the anguish. Everyone has a flesh side, if you haven't noticed. You will before you die. You'll know that you have a flesh side. I call it the earth suit, because that's all we got for now. The Holy Ghost borrowed it for the time He wants to live in us, and then off we go to glory. But this part, yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. So he repeated the first part of what he spoke. So I made a few notes. The word wait really got my attention, because we're expected as believers to do all that we know to do. It's the Christian life. We're called to live our lives in a biblical manner, and waiting on the Lord is something. I'm probably the only one here, because I'm left-handed, maybe, that I think, well, I'll wait up to a point. And then I have the tendency of taking matters into my own hands, and I don't know if any of you ever felt that way or not. If you, yeah, oh, yes, we're all bobbing together, amen, that's good. And it says, confidently expect the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I retrace some actions that I could have, should have, and didn't do. Sometimes when I find myself in a situation where now I'm at the place where I can't do anything. And that's good godly counsel. I can tell you that when, if you backtrack a week or two, a month before, and a situation comes upon you and you can't do anything about it, it happens so suddenly. Faith and I prayed that morning before we left the house with the kids. And we asked the Lord to go before us and prepare us and keep us safe on the highway. And do you know He did exactly that? The bear, I forgot to pray for. And like I said to some of you that came in early, all I know is the last time I saw him, he was still on a roll. And that's the end of my story, and I'm sticking to it. Waiting for and confidently, with confidence. Do you have confidence that the Lord is really cares enough about you to personally intervene on your behalf? And this whole thing, all of these, this list of things, as I've had all week to think about this, and instead of complaining about the smash car and oh, woe is us, we didn't really have that attitude, really, because there was no time for a bad attitude. We suddenly realized this could have gone really bad that quick. What if she yanked that steering wheel slightly to the left to avoid hitting the bear and hit him anyway? We'd have been right out in the line of traffic even more so. Just all kinds of things. So I wrote all those things down. Confidently expect. That's if you haven't been to that place where you can get discouraged. That point came when there was no car available to get us home, and a dear brother or two in his fellowship agreed to come and get us if that car thing fell through. And when it did, I thought, oh, somebody's really happy to come get us. I'll give him a call. But then the man said, I will give you the car that I came to pick up today. And that's it out there. Pennsylvania plates. And that was such a boost of encouragement at a very low time. Because a lot of people that I know, that would have been a real stretch to do an 8-hour drive round trip to do that. And I was really hesitant about asking anybody and didn't ask anybody. We waited to see what God was going to do, what's going to happen in the next step, and let things unfold to the degree that we could. I, Ken and Don, you know, there's people among us that in a pinch like that, we have people here. Lorraine, you could have done it. Barbara, you. Jesse, you could have got up and said, you're doing a good job. You know, those are Jesse's favorite words as an encourager. And, you know, so I don't over-concern myself with that because you're word people. You know what the word says. You're very faithful about that, all of you. And it's going to, if it hasn't already, it will show up in your life. When you look back at your life, did goodness and mercy follow you? You see, David said that. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We all leave footprints in life. And we saw God's footprints. Be strong. Faith is just honest about being emotional. It was emotional because when you've been stretched and stressed strenuously for 3 days, and it looks like the last thing that you had hoped for fell through, that can be discouraging. And so, be strong and let your heart take courage. And you know what's really, really neat about this phrase, let your heart take courage. Because you know what wants to happen? We like to wallow in it for a few minutes because it's self-gratification. We have pity parties, don't we, sometimes? And the same three people show up, it's guaranteed, me, myself, and I, you will always have people show up at your party. You can count on it, just as sure as we're sitting in this room together today. Let your heart take courage. That means it's like giving your heart permission. You can be courageous. Together we're waiting on the Lord, and God's going to come through. So these little notes, number two, have a confident expectation that God will make a way for us. Now, I'm personalizing that because David wrote, we'll make a way for you. If I said that to you, have a confident expectation that God will make a way for you. Because each one of us has to believe the word for ourselves. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. But we can come into a prayer of agreement for each other. Gary does that quite often. He'll call and ask me if I'll pray in agreement with him for something. And then, of course, that happens. And then this thing about being strong. It was repeated. And this this came to me, don't waver or be wishy-washy. Don't be double-minded. We say, yes, Lord, we trust, we believe, and then, you know, a little bit of time goes by, and I don't know what your waiting time extension is or ability to wait, whether you start getting antsy pants and want to take the bull by the horns, you know, and kind of start making things happen. But wishy-washy is being double-minded, and I'd like to remind you of the little five-chapter book of James. James was Jesus's earthly, real brother. Not a brother in the Lord, but a natural brother. Jesus had a family, contrary to the Pope. You know, don't believe that. Jesus literally had. There were other kids in Mary and Joseph's family. So he wrote this. Double-minded. I think I wrote that down. No, I didn't. I have my paper there so we can turn to it. I want you to see what this says with your own eyeballs, because it's a very, very valuable truth. I don't usually run around in a word like this at opening scripture, but it's very, extremely relevant. So think about this. Verse 5-8 in the book of James. And James writes of chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally. Always make sure you ask God before you ask a person. Because oftentimes, if you ask me, I will generally think of the first thing I can relate to that might be helpful at the time, but I'm not really good at prophesying your future to go down a certain road if you don't first at least put the first building blocks in place. A lot of times we let things that come up in our lives be a stumbling block, and they should be a stepping stone. Okay, so he wrote this. And he doesn't upbraid us for asking God for wisdom, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not as a last resort. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, here it is. This is really, if we don't get anything else out of the word today in all of our testimonies and stories and stuff, for let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Because God doesn't know what you're going to do. You're this way, you release your faith, and God starts working on your behalf. Oh, I changed my mind. Must be menopause. Or men having a spaz out moment. Oh, I decided I think this way is better. So then you take that before the Lord. He starts to work on your behalf. Oh, that's not going to work. I need to do it this way. And wavering back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so the spiritual truth is God already knows what to do. But he's waiting for us to jump on the bandwagon with him and get in agreement with him. Barbara talked about the importance of yoking yourself to that word, binding yourself to that word, because it's the purest form of truth that you're ever going to get. And don't neglect godly counsel. If people, you go to people and they ask you, don't tell them some fairy story. Take them to the word and agree together in the word with prayer. That's really important. But James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's become a way of life. If you're wishy-washy, nobody knows where you're coming from. Nobody knows. How can they get an agreement with prayer when they'll stare you right in the face and say, no, I'm not doing that. I got a better idea. Well, then why did you ask me in the first place? And that's God. Why did you ask me in the first place if you think you have a better way to handle your situation? And that's just the bare facts of life. We're real. You know, we're real people. And there are times when we're going to have to make decisions. But we need the wisdom of God. We think we know the solution to our problems. We're the best at self-diagnosing of any creature in the world. We self-diagnose and try to make our decisions based on that. Well, James says, no, that's not really what my father's interested in. He's interested in coming in agreement with him and his word. And so when we do that, we have that confidence. And then in verse 4, let or allow our heart, and I call this the spirit of the inner man, because the heart is the spirit of man, and out of it flow all the issues of life. Let that person, the inner man, the real you in the earth suit, exercise courage in the face of opposing circumstances. Everything looked against us. And the same with your situations too. Everything that you see can seemingly be in opposition to your faith values, to what you confess in the Word. But the important thing out of this is once you've released your faith and trusted God for something, don't change your mind in the middle of the stream. I went out in a canoe once in a thunderstorm, and the wind was blowing, and this is on Lake Sunapee. And I changed my mind. I said, Rick, that was the dumbest thing you ever did, almost. I had to add almost. And somebody comes along with a motorboat. Need a tow? I could have said, no, I'm okay. But the wind was blowing further and further away from shore. Eventually, I might have got to the other side, but I might have been a sparkler for the 4th of July or something out there. I don't know, but I was very happy to take that tow. And when the Holy Spirit comes alongside of you and says, no, this is the way. Go this way. You'll make it to the other side. And so those were the scriptures I had to go with the saga of the bear, all 23 points I made. So I didn't go into that depth. It's in writing, but it's going to be something I'm going to keep because it's such a reminder. When we looked at initially what happened, you know, the list of things that God did were far greater than the list that Faith and I had. Doesn't it sound easy? Doesn't it sound easy being a Christian?
That's if you give it all to God.
It takes courage to walk out your faith.